The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, guess what time it is? It's time for the True Wealth Radio Show on this, the greatest Tuesday you've had all month.
Yes.
And in studio with me today,
Matt Dixon.
And of course, the radio guy already said, hey, it's Dave Little John's in studio. Yeah, here we go. Matt.
Yep.
It is the season of change.
It's the time for football, David.
That's where I was going with this, right? The kids go back to school this week locally for us. The weather apparently is going to take a hard turn.
Yeah, we got some rain in the forecast. Let's go.
So
bring those salmon up the river.
It is seasonal change time. And of course, when it comes time for the next season, what happens every year?
I have a fantasy football draft.
That is literally what I was going to say.
Yes.
Like, you have a fantasy football draft. And I am never going to review the security cam footage of whatever happened in the parking lot.
Oh, that's yeah, there was some stuff going on. Guys were blowing hammies, Ralphing. It was great. You know what? I've got a waiting list to become part of this league. If you are a huge fantasy football fan and constantly listening to this radio show, email info@littlejohnfs.com, and I might consider you as an alternative backup.
As a backup to the backup.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Oh goodness, I had no idea.
The blown hammies are free.
I don't get invited to this league, just so everybody's aware.
Yeah,
I've also pretty much said something to the effect of, you can't let me do this there's two reasons, right?
Yep.
First one, I'm not any good at it.
Okay. That's a good reason to not do something.
But the second one is, I would probably build some stupid algorithm to hack the whole thing out and go nuts on it.
Justin did that.
Yeah.
He did. He built like this whole thing where it ranked every single player's strength and weakness and just like really geeked out on it. He had a whole website for it. It was pretty impressive.
So, yeah, this does not surprise me. Now, if I could somehow channel this energy into our investment committee.
If only.
Yeah, which,
you know, what's crazy?
That is where I geek out. That's why I don't do fantasy football.
What's crazy is picking stocks and picking fantasy players is so similar.
Sure.
You'd love it. You would love it. But I almost feel like fantasy football is a little bit more predictable because humans, in a sense, are more predictable than like...
Well, actually, I would say it this way. There's just not very much non-disclosed information. The challenge with the marketplace, and this is the real flaw in the efficient market hypothesis, is that there's not non-material, non-public data.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say there isn't material, non-public data, right?
The
idea is that, we all know the same stuff, so we're all... But we don't. People don't get information at the same time, and there's things that... So I really struggle with that idea that, well, it's not necessarily an equal playing field. The tools aren't always the same and the information access isn't the same.
Correct.
Where in fantasy sports, there's a combination of the human element that like the human being in performance could just have an off day for whatever reason. I mean, there
it
are variables that are hard. It's amazing to me how consistent professional athletes are.
They're very consistent.
You know, it's like they really are... at a machine level in some regards.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is like there's certain wide receivers, they blow a hammy every year, and I know this about them, so I'm like, well, that's a risky draft pick. Avoid that risk. It's not worth it. Find a guy that's historically healthy.
If anybody's ever had a hamstring injury, and I know personally, once you have one, it never really goes all the way away.
Right, yeah.
You know, you can strength train, you can get it back to where
bad ankles,
it's real functional.
Bad ankles are like that too.
Yeah, there's a reason that you get a recurrence of injury, and it's...
Well, in age regression, I always steer away from like the older end of the running back spectrum. I don't want a running back in their 30s. I'd rather have someone who's 22 to 24 years old.
Yep, there's just some biology to this.
Yeah.
But the point is still very relevant, and where are we headed with this? Well, the concept is... Fantasy football, there's a draft.
Yes, there is.
And so Matt comes to me and he goes, hey, I'm going to show you a show idea today.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you don't love it, you have to pass.
Yeah, if you don't love it.
I'll save this for Justin.
Yeah, I'm going to use it some other time. And I looked at it and said, actually, this looks like fun. Because as you guys, if you're regular listeners, as you know, Matt and I do not always agree out of the gate.
No.
We usually find agreement pretty easily.
Sure.
But we come at things from very different approaches. Often.
We do. Yes. And so we, backdrop, if you're listening, I said, David, you got to write up all of your draft picks on these, right? All of your answers. And I'm going to do it separately. And then we're going to bring them live on air. So we have not seen each other's answers to these questions.
But let me also explain what Matt did was he had a whole series of questions that were sort of like drafting the best financial advice.
Yeah, the best financial roster.
Okay, and so that's what this was built around. And so we both answered the same questions. And what we're going to do is we're going to do some back and forth here. And this is going to be fun. I hope everybody sticks around and listens because the format's going to be we're going to go through this list.
The first one is the one I struggled with the most, David.
Okay, well, and it's funny. I had an immediate answer.
Yeah,
so
this is the one
I
struggled
really interesting
with.
That you struggled with it, and I was like, boom.
Yeah.
But so we're going to go through these, and then we're going to do a little bit of like how you would really deal with the draft or manage the team. It's like, okay, well, what did we learn? Do I need to change something?
Yeah.
Do we need to trade some things around?
Yeah, or who do we fire? Who do we cut off the roster?
Yes, bad answer.
That was
so we're
going to
have some
answer.
Fun with this today, so stick around, everybody. And hopefully what you're going to find in this is that there are some hidden nuggets of actual financial advice that you can put to work.
Absolutely. All right, David, without further ado, this position is the wrecking ball. So what is one financial event or decision that would most likely be something where it completely wrecks someone's financial life? What did you answer?
Who you marry.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I mean, I kind of tiptoed into that one a little bit. So my first answer to this question was I put divorce. So if you're splitting things up and trying to start from ground zero, that's a hard thing.
It's
so
funny because it's kind of the same answer,
it
but
kind
just
of
it's
is.
Like how deep do you dig?
Right. But then I was like, no, I don't like that answer. So then my second answer was the 30-year mortgage. That's a weird answer, right?
Like, it is a weird answer.
Yeah, but I'm like, well, if you look at your average $500,000 home and how much interest you pay on that versus, say, a 15-year loan, that's about a $360,000 difference in interest that you're paying in addition. But then I didn't like that answer because Justin's like, well, Matt, I'm reading your answers here, and that one sucks because how many people can actually afford a 15-year mortgage?
Well, there's even more than that because you're actually not calculating the time value of money and what capital it frees up if you. So there's opportunity cost in
that
formula.
That's true. That's true. So then I found my answer, and I'm giving credit where credit's due. This is Emma. I'm like, hey, I need a better answer.
Okay.
And so I stuck with this as my final answer. She said, what about people who are underinsured and then they have a major catastrophe, like they end up in medical bankruptcy or they're disabled and they can't work, they had no insurance, and then they're stuck there and they can't get themselves out of the hole. So like there was just no insurance or they were underinsured.
I actually like that one a lot as a financial planning one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because you know, mine was when I say who you marry or I said or who you tie your finances to. It's kind of a similar thing, right?
Yeah.
If you get somebody that's going to make terrible decisions and they're going to sort of drag you along or they're going to undermine you if you're trying to not make terrible decisions, you're going to be frustrated.
Yeah.
But the wrecking ball, that's a pretty good one. The idea that, you know, insurance that you really should have and then you –
yeah,
willfully
someone dies.
Don't.
Yeah, your spouse dies and you have no life insurance and now you're up a creek without a paddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one's pretty strong there. I like that.
Okay. So should we score these in real time and then like we'll put a win?
I'm just going to let you score them.
Okay.
You're the scorekeeper.
I'm going
on this
Matt,
one.
Win one. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I would go with a push, but we'll just, that's fine.
I'll take this W. Okay. All right, David, the silent millionaire. That's the next person on the roster. So what is one boring thing that can quietly make someone wealthier over the next 20 to 30 years?
Compound interest in a retirement plan.
Okay. Dang. Anything else you want to add to that?
It's just dollar cost averaging into a retirement plan, making consistent like monthly contributions without just boring run of the mill.
I think we said the same thing. My answer was automated savings into something that multiplies. So you're investing your money, it's multiplying.
I'd say it's the same concept.
It's the same concept.
I will just say, look at that. We tried to draft the same player.
Dang it.
You know what? We both went for the athlete.
We did.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Womp, womp, womp. That was a boring one. It was a tie. But you know what? That's cool that we said the same thing.
It's
We're thinking
true.
The same.
Look at that.
We're trying to steal each other's picks here. Okay. What do you go ahead and read the next one, the anchor.
Okay,
what is
the
this?
Anchor. So what is one thing people keep doing financially that holds them back far more than they realize?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll go first
time.
All right. So I put down loaning money. So if you're just selling your soul to the bank or the credit card company, they're gonna own your ability to make good life decisions.
Mm.
Like, how can you make a good decision if you can't because you're always just paying on interest?
Interesting. I feel like we're saying something kind of similar, but not really.
Okay,
right?
Like
the Venn diagram overlaps, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. Okay, what'd you put?
Okay, I said it's people don't budget for savings, so it never happens.
Okay. It is different.
It is, because one of them is like, hey, you know what? I'm spending money I don't have, and so then I got to pay interest on it, and that digs a hole for
me. It kind of is the same in a way.
Well, that's what I mean. They overlap. They rhyme, but they're not the same.
Ew, that's a tricky one. I don't think I can declare a winner here. And if you're listening to this show, I'm going to encourage you to text the work line 541-375-0898. And at the end of this thing, after you've heard both of us, I want you to text in the winner. Say Matt won or Dave won.
Yeah. For that matter, if you remember the position one, like right now, we just went over the anchor,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, so the thing that's dragging somebody down. And so like, well, which one is it? And
yeah, I would like to know what you think it
is. Yeah. Maybe afterwards we create a poll and throw this on social and see what people think.
We should do that, actually. That would be really interesting.
All right, well, now we got options here.
Okay, so that one's kind of a push, too. Those are both really good answers.
Okay,
all right.
The cheat code. This is next. What's the cheat code? It says, what is one completely legal financial cheat code that more people should be taking advantage of?
Okay. I kind of like my answer here. It's not maybe the best answer, but I think it's solid. So you buy a house, you live in it for more than 2 out of the last 5 years, you fix it up along the way, right? And then you end up selling it and rinse and repeat. So if you can have up to $500,000 of gains in a house that is tax-free per flip, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. So you bought it for $200,000, you sold it for $700,000, you had a $500,000 gain. Yay, you get that money tax-free. It's pretty hard to get any type of money anymore tax-free. Like, you put some sweat equity into it, don't get me wrong.
True.
But that you can oftentimes not put a ton of capital outlay on the table in order to secure that asset, and it has big upside.
Okay, I like it. I like it because it can scale a little bit bigger.
Because it sounds like a cheat code, right?
It does. So I'm going to give you my answer, but then before you just go like, want, want,
yeah.
right? I'm going to explain why.
Okay.
I think the cheat code is the Roth IRA.
Okay. You might have that.
Here's why the Roth IRA is, it's money you already pay taxes on anyway. Even though there is a income cap on it, most people, there's a workaround so that you don't experience the cap. And so the Roth IRA is money. You pay it on taxes anyway. You put it in. It grows tax-free. If it's qualified, it becomes tax-free. Or it grows tax-deferred. It becomes tax-free. It transfers to heirs tax-free. And what people forget is the money they've already paid the taxes on, if they need it, they can pull the money back out
mm-hmm.
because you've already been taxed on the principal, and it's something that you can use for first-time home purchase or qualified educational expenses. So it's a real Swiss Army knife tool, and I think it's just underutilized.
Okay, let me give you this. In all of this, I'm going to say they are very different answers,
uh-huh.
but what do they both have in common?
It's creating a tax-free benefit out of it.
Tax-free gains.
Yeah, you're getting the velocity
of not paying
to the government.
We both looked for tax-free gains.
Yes.
So,
because, there's another one I almost said.
What?
starting a small business, like a side hustle small business as a way to take advantage of tax code.
Okay.
But Roth IRA was the one I thought most people could access.
It is a little more powerful.
Holy cow. Look, we're gonna have to grade it after. We're running long. We got to grab a break because we are way deep here. So stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon.
All right, we're doing the financial draft today. You guys got to get caught up on the podcast if you haven't been with us so far, but Matt and I are drafting our favorite financial ideas. Okay, the podcast, you can find it tomorrow. We'll publish it at littlejohnfs.com under the the Knowledge Center, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also, go subscribe at your favorite place that does podcasts. Like, you can get it there. And also, you can subscribe on YouTube if you want to see it live. You can actually look at us giving us this show. I need a haircut.
All right. No, you don't. Grow longer.
I think
this is the first time in history your hair has been longer than mine.
It's probably true.
It's true.
So,
okay.
Right. Hey, but how are we going to score the cheat code? Okay, that was the last one. I said Roth IRAs.
Yeah.
You said the tax exemption for personal residence if you've lived there for 2 years.
I hate to do this, I'm actually going to give you the win on this. And the reason for that is I feel like the ability to do it, it's easier for you
to do the Roth IRA.
It's more broadly available. Right. And it's like, how many homes can you flip in your life? I feel like there's more upside in the Roth, right? Like, if you look at it, it's like, oh, well, you really aggressively saved.
Plus, you have to move.
Yeah, you have to move.
That
sucks.
Stinks.
All right, so I'm going to give you the win on that one. It's tied up. We each have one win and two ties.
What's next on our draft?
The money leak. So what is one expense people underestimate because it doesn't feel expensive in the moment?
I am going to give you mine because I expect to lose. Because here's where I started, but then it made me take a step back.
All right.
So it's more of a money leak is like a concept that people do than a specific money leak. And so you'll probably win. It's like, well, you leave the door open or something. and it was like buying soda at restaurants. That was the first thing I thought. I was like, it's just the margins are terrible. Like, that's ends up being 25% of your bill is the doggone soda. But
that's funny.
But what I was really getting at is what people do is they focus on they'll jump over a dollar to pick up a dime kind of thing. They focus on something small that's relatively meaningless, compare it, and then they miss a really big thing.
Okay.
So to me, this is it's like trying to drive to get better gas mileage with a hole in your gas tank. You know, it's like, it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of times that people will try to, you know, save money by recycling something that's really inexpensive, but the time and effort they put into it, it never pencils. My best example is that you can't go hunting to get a like more affordable meat in the freezer. By the time you spend what it takes to get the licenses and all the time and all the effort and everything to do it and the hours and hours and hours, it's like, it's way cheaper to just pay a rancher to take care of it for you. But that's not why, I don't think that's why people hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people kind of say it is, but it's like, that's a really hard one. You're justifying real hard. So that's my idea is that, you know, just you're focusing on, you're jumping over a dollar to pick up a dime.
Okay. I put transportation is where people start to leak money, and it's because they think that they need that $80,000 pickup truck with the $1,100 a month.
Mine's coming later.
Payment. And so it's like, well, transportation is statistically people's second largest expense.
Okay.
And so if you're negligent on your second largest expense, that is a pretty big leak over a lot of years, right? You Oh, or you go and you buy a used vehicle on a loan and then the engine blows and it's like, well, now you're out all the money from the loan and you don't have transportation. So the money leak is people that buy transportation wrong.
It's funny because I see that as more like the, you know, walking into a big mistake as opposed to a leak. But I get it. Yeah. You know, leak to me is like, what's this subtle thing that you just keep doing that you don't pay attention
to? Well,
I think
a lot of people...
Like you don't fix the toilet that's running or something like that.
I think a lot of people just assume, though, that like, oh, I got to have a vehicle, 40 grand, 50 grand, boom. And then they sell it when it's got 60,000 miles. And
I
then
could
it's
say
like, you lost half
your
money.
You know what the leak would have been easy? Is just people that buy things on Amazon because it's convenient. Right, it's not a need, it's a want, and they just kind of keep doing that kind of stuff. But it's all sort of, we're saying the same thing. It's like a lot of it is unbudgeted and unnecessary. It's like if I were to say these spur-of-the-moment purchases, those are the things that really
leak. That would have been a good one. Okay, grade it out, Dave. Who wins that one?
Probably you.
Okay. All right, I'm up by one here.
Okay.
Let's jump to the next one. We got a lot of these, and people, if you're listening – and you're like, hey, no, you got this wrong. Text us 541.
This one, I'm gonna piss some people off.
I am too.
Overrated.
By the way, you're gonna hate this one. You're gonna hate this one. A lot of people are gonna hate this one, but you're gonna have to hear me out. So, Dave,
okay,
go ahead and tick people off, and then I'll tick them off even worse. What does this mean? Overrated pick.
So it's what's the one financial goal, strategy, or purchase that gets way more praise than it deserves?
Ooh, what's overrated, Dave?
College
without
a stated goal associated with
it. I'm just gonna put down win for David. I wish I had thought of that. I could have gone on a mantra. I'm circling that now. It's tied up again. Dang.
What did you say? What was yours?
Starting your own business, and not for the reasons that you'd think, because it can be a tremendous wealth building strategy.
Sure.
But 80% of the Dave Ramsey did a study on this. 80% of millionaires weren't business owners. They just stuffed money into their company's 401k account.
Yeah,
80%. Yeah. That's a huge number. And if you look at how many businesses fail, only like 33% last more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone thinks that they can be a business owner, but not everyone can.
It's true.
Right? Because you're probably taking on debt or liabilities. You got to deal with payroll, regulatory headaches. There's a list, right? And so it's like if you don't navigate that right, you could take your $80,000 in savings, go out and say I'm going to be a business owner and lose it all in the first 5 years.
It's true.
It can be wealth damaging.
Yeah, there's a lot of financial moving parts to that. That's actually a very good one. Let me.
Were you surprised? I went that. That's
so
like one you don't typically think about.
I think it's really astute to point that out. That it's a very high risk proposition, and people don't know what they don't know.
Well, here's the biggest risk. I think in that same amount of time, you put 10 years into a business, it folds. And now you're at ground zero again, but you could have put 10 years into something and jammed a bunch of money into your company 401k and been fine.
It's true.
So it's like college is a risk to some degree.
Yeah. And here's the funny thing.
But
I say that and I am very much pro-education.
Right.
So I'm not actually against the institution of college. I'm against students going and using it as their space to find themselves when it's really expensive, right? The first year or two, and this is where I love like UCC. I'm on the board. I love UCC. It's an opportunity for students to go and start to figure out where their passions are going to lead them because they're pretty young a lot of the time and they don't know yet. Or maybe they're not so young, but they're going to make a career change. Then it makes sense because now it's an investment. But when college isn't an investment, I just see it as throwing money meaninglessly into the education pot.
If you had started working at 18 and started funding your Roth at 18 instead of waiting till 22, that can make a big difference, adding 4 extra years of work experience.
It can.
I
mean, there's
lots
of reasons. It's just I'm not trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Sure.
That's why it's such a radioactive one here. But I think it needs a very hard look.
I still think we should give you the win on this.
All right. Well, I'll take it.
Okay.
Because I do think it's – I mean, that's
I'm
one that
–
it really is – when we say overrated, it's just because so many people blindly say, no, you got to do it. You got to do it. It's like, do you?
Okay. You're going to have to grade the next one.
All right.
This is the underrated pick. So the exact opposite. What's underrated?
Okay,
so it's a financial move that doesn't get enough attention.
All right. What's underrated?
Yeah. What do you got? I can tell you mine if you want.
Go ahead.
All right. Mine's really lackluster here, but maybe it wins. I don't know. I put bumming your food. And you're like, what do you mean bumming your food? So food is your third largest expense.
No, you know what? I'm making you hold this.
No,
we're going to take the break. It's time.
Okay,
and I'm
fine.
Like, bumming your food? You're going to have, you got some splaining to do.
I got it.
So
got
everybody
it.
Stick around. I want to know why bumming your food is underrated. And then we're on a financial show.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yep. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to the True Wealth Show, Matt. We're doing the financial draft today, and I am going to totally ask you why the underrated pick in your financial draft is bumming your food.
Yeah.
What does this mean?
Okay, well, luckily for you, I have an answer. So food is your third largest expense for most people. For a lot of families, it can be over $1,000 a month. So how do you solve this problem? Well, you find some good family members or friends, and you eat at their house often. You're bumming your food. So you become a leech, David. That's what you do. Or flip side of this, there's other ways.
So would you say that this is the underrated pick? Are you actually saying you should do this?
Yes.
Oh,
how do
my
you
gosh.
Save money? Be a leech, dude. Go eat at your family members' houses all the time. Also, make your own whipped cream. It's expensive. A can of whipped cream's outrageous, but heavy cream at the store is cheap. Make your own jam, okay? Fruit trees, they're free. Like, go in front of my house. I have a bunch of plum trees. Go pick them. Make your own jam. Save $5. Roadkill? Why?
No, you gotta stop right
now. Yeah, you just drove past a deer that got whacked. Pick it up, put it in the trunk, take it home, quarter it up. It's free meat.
Okay.
More roadkill, more homemade ice cream. You've got this. And
wow.
Be a leech. Eat at your friends' houses all the time.
This, I don't know how we're going to score this one.
I win this one. You can't come back from that with anything better.
What's the financial move that doesn't get nearly enough attention? And I said, budgeting and tracking your spending.
Blah. Lame. Matt
okay,
wins.
Let's give it to Matt. We're not making it exciting. It's nobody does it. That's why it's like the thing that's underrated. It's like, no, if you do it, it works.
Dave, you can't win them all.
Nope.
So
moving on.
Yep.
What's the defensive player, Matt?
It is, if everything goes wrong all at once, what is the single best thing to have already put in place?
Boy, and I feel like if you pivot off of the wrecking ball, then you're going to win. Because I was like, well, duh, you just put an emergency fund in place. You need 3 to 6 months of savings first and foremost.
Yeah,
I
literally put a fat emergency savings. It buys you time, and if an opportunity presents itself, you can strike. We tie.
Tie, okay.
Push.
Then let's go offense. This will be more fun.
Ooh, yeah.
This one, by the way, actually I think is kind of tricky.
I had fun with this one.
All
this
right.
one was actually hard. This was a really hard one. You go first. I
okay,
want to go second.
So what's the offense? If you're trying to actually build wealth rather than just protect it, what is your best weapon?
Okay, that's the key word I honed in on. What's your best weapon?
And mine was understanding how risk operates.
You're going to have to expand on that for our listeners.
Okay, so the term risk is actually a volatility measurement. And so whether you're going into a business or you're going into an investment, it's understanding the relationship between what you are putting into it versus what you expect to get out of it. I think the people that successfully build wealth really understand that dynamic well, and the people that don't tend to take unnecessary risks that hurt them more frequently, or they tend to not take enough risk and they don't make progress.
See, I feel like your answer kind of wraps defense into the solution, right? Your best offense is defense, is kind of what you're saying.
Well, I don't mean it that way, because
no?
if you look at my own personal behavior, there have been plenty of things that would have been pretty risk-seeking,
mm-hmm.
but I had a really good understanding of what I was getting involved
okay.
in. And so seeking that risk meant that it was much more likely that the outcome would be positive. Plus, I could influence it. So generally speaking, I could influence the outcome. And so I had better than 50-50 odds out of the gate.
Hmm. Okay. So you were just playing an odds game.
Yeah, I generally do. I mean, it's like take high percentage shots is, yeah, is your best offense.
That is a good way to build wealth. But I took this a little differently, right?
What a shocker.
Uh-huh.
Bum said, food and then do what Matt's about to say.
Okay. So if you're really trying to build wealth, and I'm thinking like high octane, like foot.
You're about to say
throttle,
like options or something.
What's the best way to build it? And it says rather than just protect it. So we're not trying to protect it. We're just trying to grow it. Okay. I put the answer as leverage. So borrow, loan, acquire more assets, and loan against those assets, and basically build this house of cards and hope that you have enough super glue to hold them all together.
I have to tell you that here we are on a financial radio show where we're supposed to kind of give advice, and the fiduciary in me is just dying a little bit because leverage is...
It swings both ways.
Well, it's within the scope of understanding risk.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm like, well, you're carving out the part of it without a more complex explanation.
Yeah, I was just going for what is the octane, right? Because the theory was you can never save faster than you can like turn big money assets into even bigger money assets, right? So if you can control it and not get attached to it, you have the potential to really ratchet up your wealth quickly.
I mean, I'm going to give you the point, but I'm going to expand what you said.
Oh, okay.
The way I'm going to modify it is to say, what you need to do is you need to understand how to control appreciating assets without having to pay full price for them.
Yeah.
So it's the leverage is the ability to control something that's appreciating.
Yep.
And you get to control it, but you don't have to be fully paid for in it. Right?
Okay.
So you can use other people's money to control an asset. Yep. And that's what leverage really is. So I'm just unpacking it more. But that's for purely offense, and we're just ignoring the catastrophe.
Right.
That's a really good one.
Okay. Well, what about this next question? So what if you were just looking for an optimization pick? So this is something where it's an area of someone's financial life where it can be relatively a small change, but it creates a really large result.
Okay. I have the most boring answer, but it's right.
Okay, you might win here.
Okay, so I'm going to let you go first then.
I don't think mine's that great. I just put a side hustle. So what is something that you can optimize? Well, you're taking all this extra money that you're not really budgeting for, and then you're putting that to work to grow that little bucket of wealth, and then that's kind of the thing that launches you into the next phase of your wealth building journey.
So I'm taking a psychology approach. People don't really do that. Most people have lifestyle creep. And so the way to stop lifestyle creep is that you save first instead of last. You don't save what you didn't spend. You budget your savings right up front, and then you contain your spending within what's left.
That is a lot easier to do.
Well, and again, what you said was, what's the optimization pick?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have to make you any more money than you're already making. What I have to do is change your behavior.
Oh,
and
I like that.
So this is a behavioral optimization, and by changing the way you approach it, by saying save first, pay yourself first, then spend the rest.
I had a feeling I was going to lose that one, and I was right. I lost that one. So
okay.
I'm giving you the point on that one.
I think that's easy, right? I feel like I'm losing today, so I'll take it.
Okay, well, I'm only up one, actually.
Oh, look out. All right, well, so let's go with this next. This one was hard, right? Because I think it's a trick question.
We almost took this one out.
Yeah, this is called the emotional pick. So we're drafting the emotional pick. And the question is, what emotion costs people the most money? Fear, greed, envy, pride, impatience, or something else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
what'd you pick?
I'll go with my answer first. I said it's a trick question because it's unique to each person. What it is it's the weakness, and it's the thing that makes you impulsive.
Which one do you think is like the most common?
So I think it's FOMO. I think it's probably fear drives a lot of people. Like, I have to do this thing right now or I won't get another chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so fear creates impulsiveness. Now, you could say it's greed, but usually greed is still associated with fear. If I'm greedy, but I'm afraid I'm going to miss out, I have to do it now. Right. So I think fear is the first thing that drives it. And it leads you to impulsive behaviors that where you're not thinking it through. And that's
a good answer. Okay. It's centered in pride, but it's people building lifestyles that they can't afford. It's kind of self-centered. They use terms like, I deserve it. It's fun. But then they end up broke and they're just dependent on the system, right? Yeah. Because it's like, well, I was prideful and I wanted it and I just built this lifestyle to try and keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, it's hard for me to call a winner on this one because each person has a different ticker.
I think we gotta just say
the person you're thinking, I've seen this before. So you're really spot on. Like folks will say, well, I deserve it. You go, mm-hmm. Well, that really is you're making yourself judge and jury and everything else. Like your money doesn't care whether or not you deserve it. If you spend it and it's gone, it's just gone.
Gone. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah. I think we give that one a tie. That's a hard one to choose.
Okay.
On.
Well, let's keep hustling here. How about the bad advice pick? What is a common piece of financial advice that sounds smart but can actually hurt people?
Yeah. I put save your money in the bank.
That's actually really, I like that one a lot. It might be better because I picked buy a house as soon as possible.
Yeah. I just figured the dollar is eroding, right? Like, and inflation's real. And if you rather own things like stocks or precious metals or guns or land or boats or whatever, at least it's something that might be going up in value. So own something that's going up, not just cash in the bank.
Yeah.
Everyone tells you, like, but it's not great advice.
Well, this is the reason I picked buy a house, especially as soon as possible, is because it might be good advice, but it's still circumstantial to each person.
It is.
It's so, you know, we give this generic advice, like you should buy a house. And like, look, that is completely dependent upon circumstance. It might be okay advice, but it might not. And the fact that it looks and it's sold like it's automatically good advice makes it dangerous. And so that's my issue with it.
Yeah. And oftentimes people right out of the gate can't afford it.
Yes. Yeah. And so
they think that they can.
And so the reason I say, you know, put your money in the bank. Well, if it's most of the time it starts in a bank because that's the routing center for where it's going to go. So if I were lobbying to get the point, I would say, well, I think the idea, if somebody says put their money in the bank and that's just the only place to put it, I think that's pretty bad advice.
Yeah.
But if it's just put the money in the bank because you shouldn't keep it in a book on a shelf somewhere, then maybe it's okay. So it's hard for me to call that one.
Yeah, let's just call it a tie and move on. All right. So what about this? What is this next one? The looks rich pick? What does that mean?
Yeah, so what makes someone look wealthy, but potentially it's making them poorer?
Hmm.
This one, you're
looking at someone and you're thinking they're rich, but
So your leak question about the vehicle is where I put it here.
Oh, you
it's
put
like,
the vehicle
it's the car
on there?
Thing. I think that people buy way too much vehicle because they want to look cool, but they really can't afford it, or they handicap their ability to do other things because they went out and just wanted to look cool in a vehicle.
Yeah. I think the big misnomer for a lot, and I answer this differently, I put the person that has a high income. You're looking at them and they have a high income, so you just naturally assume that they're doing really, really well. Oh, they have a huge salary. Well, I've seen a lot of people that make a lot of money, but there's no liquid savings. They don't really have that much in retirement. And it's like, well, you know, you're 50 years old and you're getting close to retirement, but you still have 25 years on the mortgage. So it's like, well, on paper, you're making a lot, but you're not actually wealthy. So you look rich, but you're not.
Well, and so here's where I'm going to call you on it.
Okay.
If I were grading a test,
yes,
I would say, well, you just defined what the question was looking for, but you didn't define the thing that does it.
That's
right.
True.
You just said, well, I have an income that's really high, but I didn't buy assets. I just spent it on liabilities and things that are more or less consumables. And so I have nothing to show for it.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
And so I'm like, well, I mean, that's true. If you could have a exotic lifestyle, but no assets.
Okay.
And that would do. And I was just picking one of the assets. And it's like, well, a lot of people fake it by buying something they can't afford to look rich.
Okay. I think we'll give you the win on that one.
Yeah.
All right. So does that make us tied up?
We might be close.
Look, I think we are tied.
I love it. We got two to go, and then we're going to do our draft shuffle here at the end. But look, we got to take our last break, so let's do that. We'll grab it. We're going to come back. We got two more. The opposite of the looks rich pick. Okay.
Yes.
And a wild card.
Yeah, we're tied.
Stick
we're tied.
Around. All I'm right. Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, home stretch of the True Wealth Show. Dave Littlejohn with
Matt Dixon.
Okay, Matt, we got two more to go, and then we got to shuffle this whole thing. We are looking at the financial draft, and we've gone through a bunch of them, but the last two are what's the looks broke pick? Okay, mm-hmm. So what's a financial behavior that can make someone look cheap or boring while actually building serious wealth?
Okay, I got one. It's just saying no to the extravagant, right? So I have turned down a lot of vacation things where it's like, oh, my friends are going to Florida and they want me to go with them. I got invited to a fishing trip in Mexico. Would have been fun, but it's expensive. And so if you can just say no enough times over, then yeah, you might look, because I mean, the question said it looks cheap. It looks like you're being cheap, but it's okay to just say, no, I don't have the money for it. I can't afford it this month.
Yeah.
It's okay to say no, well, but most people won't.
It is okay to actually not be able to afford something and just kind of own that.
Yeah.
So what I said, and it was along those lines, but it was a behavior. I said, you rent something instead of buying it because you won't use it very often.
I like that one.
You know, and so you'd sit there and go like, well, why are you, you know, renting this thing that you could just go buy? I mean, like, you're paying, you know, here's an example. Like, you rented a paint sprayer, you know, like, you could go buy one for $400, but you paid $200 to rent it. And it's like, yeah, but I only needed it this time. And
right.
I don't need to keep it around. And it takes up storage space in my life and everything else. So, like, you think, well, boy, you're just being cheap. Why didn't you just buy the thing? But it's really smart. I don't need to buy it. I just needed it for that time.
Well, that's a good one. So it's either say no or rent it.
Yeah.
God, that's a tough one.
It
what
is kind of tough.
What do you, what, I'm letting you pick here. We're coming
down
to the wire.
I'm going to go with you on this one.
Really? Okay.
I am, because I picked a really specific behavior, and what you picked was I think embedded in what you really said was don't borrow for an experience that you can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks broke thing
is,
you know, people are like, oh, you can't afford it. It's like, well, I know it, that, and it kind of looks like that, but I'm being financially wise.
Right.
And so that to me is, they're both wisdom, but I think it's a bigger marker. Like, I think more people chase down the FOMO and the, I want to look cool or everything else. So they're more likely to do what you're describing on a credit card.
Uh-huh.
So I think I give it to you, because if I look at the advice that I want our listeners to hear, yours is the one that if you only picked one of those two, I would take yours.
Okay. All right, that means we're down to our very last question.
The wild card.
The wild card. All right, so you get to add one financial rule, asset, habit, strategy, insurance policy, career move, anything to your roster. David, what are you going to take?
I'm going to say this is and I am super convicted in this.
Okay.
And it's going to be like the most like, really? Write down your goals and read them daily.
That's a good one. That's a good wild card.
Right. That would be my rule. Now, I'll let you go to explain yours, and then I'll tell you why I'm so convicted in what I wrote down.
I wrote down, marry the right person. So if you're married to the wrong person, I don't even have to explain this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you are married to the right person, you might actually be forgetting how lucky you are. So go give that person a kiss. Tell them you love them, because it's a lot easier when you're on the same page versus divided. That's my wild card. Marry the right person.
Well, the reason that I struggle with that one, I actually agree.
Yeah.
But if somebody's married to the person that they're the wrong person right now, that's a toughie.
Yeah.
Right? So like, oh, wow. That was. Let me tell you why I think writing down goals and reading them daily may still actually supplant that.
Okay. Go for it.
It's because what you focus on becomes truth over time. And so everything that we have discussed, all of the mistakes start to resolve themselves because you are focusing your energy. But you cannot focus your energy without intention. And this makes that happen. It takes it from the subconscious brain, makes it real. You see it every day consciously, and your subconscious mind begins to do that. So when somebody says, hey, why don't you go do the look rich thing? It's against my goals. And so it's against my values. So I can resist that more easily because of this.
Okay. I do like that. You have convinced me. I think you're going to win that one, which you know what that means.
We did not plan it this way.
We actually tied.
This is ridiculous.
Okay. Well, we need people.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes. So yeah. Let's figure out. Look, end of the round here. If we tied, what's something from my roster that you think
I'm taking your last one. I'm taking your wild card, writing down goals, because I've noticed with myself, if I write it down, it happens. Mm-hmm. So I know that it works. I'll take that one.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the underrated one, or I'm sorry, the offensive one is that if I liked yours, I wish I would have thought about that and explained it the way I did. The whole idea of
the leverage.
Understanding and properly utilizing leverage can make a huge impact.
All right.
Dave Ramsey's going to like flip out, but I'm like, I said properly utilize, right? Okay. Not recklessly.
Okay, David, you have to cut something off of your own roster. What are you cutting? I got to look. What do I want to cut off my roster here?
Oh, man. What would I?
Oh, I know which one I'm cutting for myself. It's the one that you said, hey, you didn't actually fully answer it. Mm-hmm. It was the people with the just looking rich one. I'd cut that because you're right. It doesn't fully answer it. So I'd cut that one. What are you cutting off yours?
I think I would probably cut the money leak thing. I think I explained that poorly. I think if I had another shot at it, maybe. But the money leak, I didn't like the way I described that. So I'd probably ditch that one.
Okay. I guess the steal is the last one we've got here before we give people a phone number. So if you could steal each other's, or did we already do that one?
Well, we kind of did in
I know which one of mine you'd steal.
Go on.
Bumming the food. You wished you had thought of that.
My parents took really good care of me. Now it's my turn. I like to be the generous one, but that was pretty funny.
Well, hey, we want to know who you think won this. So text, email.
Oh, wait, we do have a bonus rule.
Oh, we do have a bonus rule. What is it?
We got to do it fast. Okay, so did you put a bonus rule?
A bonus rule?
All right, because here's the bonus rule. It says don't give a generic answer at the end. Right?
Oh.
So final round, what's the bonus rule? Now, let me tell you what mine was, because I'm just going to steal the show real quickly.
Okay, do it.
The bonus rule is, financially speaking, work backwards. And one, it's backwards culturally. Our culture tells people spend first, think about it later, and I'm going to tell you to do it the other way around. Think first, then spend. And I'm going to tell you that if you want a future, imagine it first and then reverse engineer it. That's really what financial planning looks like. And so I will sum it up as simply saying, work backwards.
I like that. Okay. David, what if they need help getting on track like this? What do they do?
Give us a call. As the music plays, we're going to have to run, but you can reach us at 541-375-0898, or you can send us an email to info@littlejohnfs.com. We're out of time for now. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.